We are back here on The Game. John Kurtz, Mitch Portner still here with you. The Game KMAN for questions or comments on Twitter. You can vote the poll question. Good move, bad, or indifferent for Wichita State to make the jump to the AAC, which is official as of today. We're going to zero in here on spring football with Stan Weber, who joins us right now. You hear him on the K-State Sports Network throughout football and basketball season. Stan, appreciate the time and in joining me here. I think K-State is in a pretty good position, obviously, headed into next year with 14 starters returning, but certainly there are some position battles to sort themselves out in the spring. What are you most looking forward to seeing what will transpire in the spring for?
Well, John, great to be on with you, and hello to everyone right there in central Kansas, my second home. It seems like I'm there in Manhattan all the time, and it's great to talk to you. Spring football is a fun time, and you start thinking about next fall, and I'm very excited about K-State football, the way they finished winning the bowl game and having a starting quarterback this year. It's back. How good have Kansas State football teams been under Bill Snyder when they have a returning starting quarterback? So very excited about that part of the football team. And offensively, the Wildcats will be very, very strong. But with Jesse Ertz not taking all the snaps, it'll be exciting to see how the quarterbacks develop. With Alex Delton getting more and more opportunity this spring, Skylar Thompson finally available to get better reps, a lot of excitement about the quarterback position and the depth. But the story of how good K-State will not be on offense and will not be special team play, because I think both of those areas are pretty well covered. K-State's going to keep their focus. They're going to keep grinding along and doing what Bill Snyder wants. The question is, how good is the defense going to be? And where are the Wildcats going to find excellence on that part of the football team? And therefore, I think the battle that you look at or the position that you look at to see how well K-State will play really is the safety position. The Wildcats use two safeties and three cornerbacks, or maybe you want to say three safeties and two cornerbacks, but you got five defensive backs, so that's more important today than it has been ever in history, as a 4-2-5 is kind of a normal base defense, especially in the Big 12. So how will the safety position pan out? How good will K-State be there? I think they'll be fine at cornerback. The linebackers are very good, and then you got to say, how will you be able to replace Jordan Willis? Because he was the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. I think K-State's going to be fine on the front wall. They're going to be pretty good. But still, whenever you have a guy graduate that was the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, you got to say there's some replacing to do on that line. So the defensive line a little bit, the safety is the big focus about how good K-State will be there.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up, Stan, because I think most people would look at the defense and say, well, Elijah Lee was an unexpected departure there. You also lost Jermichael Moore and Will Davis. So basically your top three linebackers are gone. But I think to your point, you are going to have more defensive backs on the field, and the nickelback is going to have to be replaced. The safety is going to have to be replaced. So I guess, is it really the secondary that's above the list there for you as far as what is the bigger concern? That is bigger than linebacker?
Yeah, absolutely. The linebacking position for K-State, when you went into the fall and even midway through the fall, you're able to know a lot about the roster. And why would you know a lot about the linebackers? Because they really only needed to play two, and those guys played great. I think Jermichael Moore is an underrated football player, and K-State's going to miss him, obviously. But they had the depth at least two deep and arguably into their third team to be legitimate starters. Did you see how Trent Tanking played against TCU, put under pressure, thrown out on the field, just made play after play? And he was brand new to the defensive lineup that late in the season. Amazing. My point is, I would say that K-State had about eight linebackers who had a chance to be on the field and be productive. Not stars, but productive and very good defensive players. And that eight players means third team with three linebacker positions, and we just went over. The fact is, almost all the time, K-State plays only two. So there's just not as much pressure. K-State has a lot of depth at the linebacker position. They lose two very good guys, and you hate to see as a fan that anybody leaves college early. You credit them for how good they are. But you'd love to see Lee back playing for the Wildcats. But I think that because there were eight guys last year, you lose a couple, you still have very good linebackers. And you only need to sort out and have two of them play. They can take turns, different things. The safeties, if you count the nickelback as a safety at all, then you need three of them all the time. And K-State didn't have a ton of depth there last year or the year before. And Dante Barnett, such a great player, sorting out where guys needed to be, understanding what things that teams would do. Sometimes K-State's defense isn't overly complicated by call, John. They may call number four. That's it. But once the pattern starts, it could change into seven different defenses. Does that make sense? You have to react perfectly. And you might say, oh, K-State's in a base defense. No, they start in a base defense, but as soon as the play unfolds, they read the routes, and their defense changes tremendously. Well, Dante Barnett could yell out as the play was being ready to start, hey, watch this. Watch the slot guy. He's going to run it out. Little hints like that. Got everybody lined up, everybody in their position, and then sometimes he's at the line of scrimmage to make a tackle, and sometimes he is 40 yards deep covering a long route. Remember Zimmerman doing that? Ty Zimmerman doing it flawlessly, smacking people at the line of scrimmage and then knocking the ball deep downfield? How can that be? Sometimes the call is exactly the same, but he had to read and read all the route combinations and everything that was going on. Losing Dante Barnett and Ty Zimmerman before that, having those veteran guys back there makes it a question mark. So without a doubt, secondary is my question, and the safety position is the number one area to watch.
Talking with Stan Weber here on the game, a little spring football talk on a Friday here on the show. As far as the quarterbacks are concerned, I mean, there's plenty of hype, obviously, for Jesse Ertz coming off the season that he had, and he likely is not going to be playing in the spring game when we get a chance to see everything. There's a ton of hype for Skylar Thompson as well, being one of the highest recruited guys that's been in the program for a while at the quarterback position. Is Alex Delton in some ways the forgotten man here? I mean, he's the guy that's taking number one reps right now at quarterback, but, you know, he's in a very interesting position where it seems like he's almost being passed over.
He is maybe by some people's imagination or focus, but not for me. You may not be old enough to even be alive when this happened, but for those old K-State fans, think about this. Remember when L. Roberson was a star young quarterback coming up and we're excited about the things that he was going to do for the Wildcats? Well, there was a guy a little bit older than him named Jonathan Beasley who redshirted as in the 1998 season when the K-State Wildcats lit it up under Michael Bishop. Jonathan Beasley, who had played a little bit before that, redshirted, and he came back, and who was going to be the starter? Oh, no, L. Roberson, man, that's the guy. And wait a second, Jonathan Beasley has a lot of knowledge. He's steady. He knows the playbook, and even though L. Roberson was everything we thought he was going to be, you had to let him marinate a little bit to reach his full potential. It was Jonathan Beasley who was a starting quarterback in 1999 and 2000. By the way, trivia, the only quarterback in K-State history to win two bowl games as a starting quarterback, the only guy. So Jonathan Beasley was a little bit overlooked, and I think Alex Delton, while not yet proven enough to be Jonathan Beasley, is in somewhat the same role. The knowledge that he has and the time he's been around the K-State program is very valuable. And even though Skylar Thompson could be a superstar quarterback, as you project, and everything he did last year, there's no reason why K-State fans shouldn't be super excited. I know the coaches are about him, but that doesn't mean that he's going to be the second-string quarterback. It could easily be Alex Delton. I wouldn't be surprised at all. So don't write off Alex Delton, because having knowledge of the system, being involved as long as he's been, is an advantage over Skylar Thompson. So we can see a situation where let's don't get excited about getting Jesse Ertz out of there, because he's good. The way he played the last third of the season was off the charts good. He is a big-time quarterback now. He's found his way. He knows how to play Jesse Ertz K-State football. You know, he's not trying to emulate anybody else. He has his own style, and he believes in it, and it functions well. So he should be the starter. Alex Delton very well, and most likely will be the backup. And I don't think anybody should be disappointed. They shouldn't write him off and be upset and say, oh, it's not really true. They're just saying that. Skylar Thompson should be the starting quarterback. I don't even know if Jesse Ertz is to play. You know, you'll hear those comments on social media or on your show with calls or the excitement of K-State fans. What I think, we can be excited about all three of them. There is really no reason to write off Alex Delton. I think he has a little bit of an advantage right now because of the knowledge he has and the experience. So I think it's great that Alex Delton will step up his game. I have no problem with him being the backup, and it doesn't limit my excitement about Skylar Thompson at all, just like it didn't limit my excitement about L. Roberson when back then I was very convicted. Like I said, I'm not sure if you're alive, John, so you have to look back to the history books. But when I was talking in Manhattan to the radio host at those times, like Mr. Walters or someone like that, you know, I heard so many times, L. Roberson's going to be the starter. He is. He's the guy. He's coming on. And I would get on and say, I hate to not be excited about Earl Roberson. I don't mean it to be that way, but Jonathan Beasley is going to be the starting quarterback. And sure enough, he was the starting quarterback in 2000 and in 1999 and did a very good job, and Earl Roberson turned it on after that. I think we're seeing a little bit of the same thing.
Yeah.
I'm not going to limit Skyler at all.
No, I love that. I love that comparison. And clearly the bottom line is K-State's in good shape at quarterback for now and the foreseeable future. Talking with Stan Weber here on the game, you know, the quarterbacks are going to have Colin Klein to work with now, who steps in for Del Miller. We've seen a shift with Mike Cox out as the linebackers coach as well. How much of an effect will that have? It's been so long since we've had any sort of shakeup on the coaching staff.
Well, it is, and that defies gravity that you don't have turnover. It's been used to K-State's advantage, but still, one or two coaching changes over 1 year is kind of normal for many staffs. Yeah, look at Alabama, the machine they are, and just their offensive coordinatorship. They've had three different guys in their last – when they play their next game, they'll have three different offensive coordinators in their three games in a row. This stuff happens. The K-State staff is intact, basically. If you look over the last 5 or 6 years and say you only had two turnover in that time, that's pretty small. And then when you say that the guys they brought in know about K-State football, how about Colin Klein? Colin Klein is not an outsider. He is one of the K-State guys who knows the system. I think it's awesome that when you lose a guy like Del Miller, who has been such a great assistant to Bill Snyder, you go back again. Do I sound really old going back in the history books, John? I'm sorry about that. I don't mean to bore you.
No, by all means. I love it.
When Bill Snyder came here in 1989, if you understand how it unfolded, Del Miller was really the acting lead coach. As Bill Snyder ran around and tried to put his staff together and do recruiting and those kind of things as a brand new coach, Del Miller was the first guy here who started running K-State practices or workouts or setting the tone, learning, teaching everyone what to do. He has been such a confidant of Bill Snyder, such an extension of Bill Snyder. No ego, doesn't care if his name's ever mentioned, doesn't care if he gets credit for any call or anybody knows him in public, says hi in a restaurant. Del Miller does not care about that. What a humble extension he's been for Bill Snyder. So he has been such a big part of K-State football. But when he is retired, what do you want to replace him with? Colin Klein, the next generation. And I could not be more excited about having Colin back. When he left, it made me sad. Just like Elijah Lee, you got to pat your guys on the back and be proud of them when they get opportunities. And Colin Klein was able to go from making no money and being a GA to making money in Northern Iowa and being the quarterback coach there. But I'm so happy to have him back. And when we talk about the big issue right now is, hey, Coach Snyder's 77 years old. Coach Snyder's going through throat cancer. What is K-State going to do? What's the future going to be? 1, 2, 5, and 10 years from now, all these things, these questions are asked. I love that the next generation is coming on. That guys like Colin Klein that believe completely in the Bill Snyder system, the 16 goals, the strategy on offense, the hard work, the appreciation of walk-ons, getting better every day. All these things that Bill Snyder has taught us and is not going to be around forever to tell us need to be passed on to K-State football players forever. The best way for K-State football to be big-time, relevant, and what we expect 10 and 15 years from now is for those coaches to rely on as many things as Bill Snyder taught them. How exciting is it that Colin Klein is right there as a position coach, learning from Bill Snyder, Dana Dimmel, and all of the coaching staff about the K-State way. That is great for the future, and I hope to see Colin a part of the K-State football program for a long, long time, and he is a big asset right now. To go from Del Miller to Colin Klein is such a break for K-State. I couldn't be more excited on a lot of fronts.
Stan Weber talking with me here for just a couple more minutes. The other aspect of everything that is probably a little bit different for guys, I would think, or at least has been, is obviously Bill Snyder getting his throat cancer diagnosis, and he admitted on Tuesday that he's had to take some of the work outside of the office. He's still trying to work as much as possible, but has had to do some of it outside of the office, which is different. How much do you think things have changed for the guys around Veneer with what has happened with Coach Snyder?
I don't think anything's changed at all. Bill Snyder works tirelessly. He puts in unbelievable hours, but he's not a guy who's being bothered during those hours. So let's take any evening from 7 o'clock until 11 o'clock at night. How often do you think the guys are running in his office and saying, hey, did you hear that latest score of the baseball game, Coach? No. Coach Snyder was working, and they were in their offices working. They have meetings every day to set the tone for the day. The assignments, the information flow between each other is very organized. The fact that Coach Snyder may leave at 5 o'clock in the afternoon or 3 or 7 at night, whenever he does take work home, it's no different from a football perspective and a K-State program running than him being in his office. He can do that work at home or in the office. It doesn't matter. We talked about the stability of the coaching staff. This K-State coaching staff knows exactly what Coach Snyder wants. They know exactly what to do, and it filters its way all the way down to the leadership of the players, the captains, the leadership group, the players. Everybody in the system knows what to do. That's what having a long-term coach and stability in the staff brings. Everybody knows what to do, and all they need is a little bit of leadership from Coach Snyder. He plans things well in the future. He's very consistent. He reminds them of the same things. Have you ever heard of, hey, guys, let's get a little bit better today? John, have you heard that one?
Yes.
You know it. Every K-State fan knows it. That's what the players continue to do. Coach Snyder being in the office or not has zero effect on the effectiveness of K-State football and what we're doing toward next year. Zero. This thing is a fine-tuned machine with Coach, and he is so dedicated, it doesn't matter if he's at home in his office or at the K-State football complex in his office, his work can still be done.
Well, Stan, talking to you always gets me fired up for football. I wish the spring game was tomorrow now, but thanks for spending some time here this afternoon on the show, and looking forward to seeing you when the spring game rolls around.
John, great to talk K-State football and spend the time with you. I thought we were doing a pregame show. I thought we were just going to roll till 7.
I know. Well, I wish we could.
Okay. It was a lot of fun, but I'd love to talk about K-State football a lot more anytime.
All right. Appreciate it very much, Stan. Again, Stan Weber from the K-State Sports Network here on The Game. Really appreciate his time. If you missed any of the interview, newsradiokman.com, the on-demand tab for the podcast of the show. We've got 20 minutes left with you. You can't be serious at 5:50, but we have a reason to celebrate today, and we'll tell you why coming up on The Game.